Let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's word. We do that to honor the word of God. We do that to honor our Lord and Savior, who is himself the very word of God. So the word this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 to 52, a familiar story to most of you, I'm sure. Hear the word of God. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God. Please receive it as such. So as I said, this is a familiar story. It's a simple story of faith. And I'm afraid that sometimes we take these simple stories and we attribute them or say those are stories for children. We have this story. We have Zacchaeus, the wee little man. We have David and Goliath. We have all of the stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and the lion's den. All of these stories, if we're not careful, we consider them children's stories. And yet they are not children's stories. They are made for each one of us. These are stories of faith that we need to hear. These are stories of faith that we need to have. And so we should receive it as such. This account takes place. This isn't a parable. It's a true account of something that happened. And it took place a week before the cross. Jesus and his disciples have come down from Galilee, and they're on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and to the place where Jesus is going to the cross. He knew he was. He told his disciples he was back previously in this chapter, starting in verse 32, he foretells his death. This is the third time he's told his disciples what's going to happen. "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." So he was headed for the cross, and he knew what was happening. He knew what was to take place. And we're told in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. He set his face and focused on what he was to do. He was not to be deterred. He was going to go to the cross. And that's the setting. And so in this story, we have really three people or groups of people. We have Bartimaeus. We have the crowd. And we have the Lord himself. And so we're going to talk about what Bartimaeus did, what the crowd did, and what Jesus did. And first of all, we'll talk about the need that Bartimaeus had. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, that is, they came in the north side and were exiting the south side, so they were leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So, here is a man who was blind. And that relegated him to a life of being a beggar. It affected all of his life, this blindness. This need was so great that he had that it affected every aspect of his life. I don't know if you've ever had a need so great that it's just affected everything about your life. But Bartimaeus did. And if he had one thing that he could change, he knew what it would be. So he was forced to be a beggar. He was probably living hand to mouth. He was probably just waiting for any little help he could get to afford a crust of bread or whatever he needed. But his blindness left him in a state of great need. We might assume that he was blind from birth, but I don't think that was the case. When the Lord asked him what he wants him to do for him, the word in the Greek, and I don't often talk about that, but I think in this case it's helpful. The word in the Greek is anablepo, and it means not blepo is have sight. Ana means again or repeated. He wants, and it's translated in some of your Bibles, is he wants to recover his sight. He wants to restore his sight restored. My thinking and understanding is that he probably at one time had sight and he lost it and he wanted it to be restored. That was his great need. And that's what he cried out to Jesus for. I suppose it's one thing, I have no idea personally, but I suppose it's one thing to never have seen, never have had sight. I can't imagine what that would be like. You don't know what the sky looks like. How do you understand the color red? How do you know anything, really, if you have no sight? But what if you were born with sight and you lost it? There's certainly a sense of, a great sense of loss there. He could picture things in his mind's eye, but he couldn't see them. He had lost something that was crucial to him. And it was a very real sense of loss, so much that it dominated his whole life. Now, I'm pretty sure that there's nobody sitting here this morning who has this issue, that they have, that they're blind or have lost their sight, but maybe you know what it's like to lose something that's precious. Maybe you know it's what it's like to lose something that's affected all of your life. Maybe it was a relationship that you've lost. Or maybe it was something else. Maybe it's even a sense of faith in the Lord, that when you first believed, you had this wonderful, vibrant faith that was just so meaningful and so uplifting, and now maybe it seemed like it's hard to grasp anymore. You still believe, but the joy and the efficacy of that seems to be lost. And it's something that you would want to have restored, and that was Bartimaeus' position. That's what makes him cry out. He had a need that was so depth so deep. And unless we can understand a loss that's so deep in our hearts that it would make us cry out to God, it will be hard to enter into what Bartimaeus was dealing with. But here's what he did. Verse 47 and following. It says, and when he heard it was Jesus, actually in John's gospel it tells us that he asked what the commotion was. Doesn't say that in Mark, it just says he was told. But he asked what it was. I imagine if you were sitting on the street, which Bartimaeus was, he was sitting alongside the road, that's what it says. He was sitting by the roadside. That's the best place to have a good flow of traffic where you'd have a lot more opportunity to have people donate to you. But I imagine he pretty much had the sense of the motion of the day. He knew what was going on. Things were normal. He couldn't see. But he knew the rhythms of what was happening. But this day, something extraordinary was happening. Something way out of normal. There was a great commotion, a sense of excitement, and Bartimaeus didn't know what caused it, but he picked up on that. He knew something was happening. And so he asked, what was causing all of this? And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When he asked what the commotion was, he was told it was Jesus of Nazareth. But when he cried out, he said, Son of David. Son of David is a messianic term. It means that Jesus, that Bartimaeus understood Jesus to be the Messiah. The crowd said, when they asked or said who it was, he said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. What they saw was a man, maybe a great man, maybe a prophet, maybe something wonderful, but a man nonetheless. What Bartimaeus saw with his blind eyes was far more than they saw with their sight. And what he saw was the Messiah. No doubt he had heard many stories. There's many, he never saw Jesus. He never saw him perform a miracle. But no doubt he heard many stories about who Jesus, what Jesus said, what he did, the miracles he performed. All of these things. And because of what he knew about the promises of God, he knew this was the Savior. And it was all based on what he heard. He didn't see a thing. He knew who it was based on what he's heard. And that's the same, basically the same position we are in. We haven't seen Jesus with our eyes. We haven't seen him perform a miracle with, we haven't been in his presence in that sense. But it comes down to what we heard. It comes down to what we hear. Faith comes through hearing and through the word of God. And Bartimaeus, though he was hindered by lack of sight, he had all he needed to know who Jesus was. Jesus was the Messiah. And that's what he saw. The world that we live in says seeing is believing. The world we live in says I'll believe it when I see it. You want me to believe something? Show me. I'll believe it when I see it. Faith is the opposite. Faith says, if you believe, you will see. The Lord said, did I not tell you at Lazarus' tomb, did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? It's the opposite of the world. We believe it, and then we see it. And that's what Lazarus was. He was, Bartimaeus. That's who Bartimaeus was. He believed what the promises of God were about the Messiah. And because of that, he saw it, not with his eyes, but in his heart where it counted. And that's how we come by faith as well. I'm thinking of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man dies and goes to hell, and Lazarus, the poor man, goes to heaven. And the rich man says to Abraham, you need to go tell my brothers about this so they can be spared. And Abraham said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, even if they see somebody raised from the dead, they will not believe. Faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by believing and hearing the word of God. And then if you believe, then you'll see the glory of God. And that's the way it works in the realm of faith. So he heard enough and he knew enough to have hope. It inspired hope. Maybe the Messiah, maybe this Jesus would heal him. And he had hope. Because he had hope because Isaiah, which I'm sure he was familiar with, said in the book of Isaiah that the Messiah, when he came, would come. One of the things he would do, he would give sight to the blind. That was a promise that Bartimaeus believed in. And here comes what he believes is the Messiah. And he knew he had the ability to give sight to the blind. He probably never thought he'd have an opportunity to deal with the Lord. He probably never thought he'd have an opportunity to be in his presence, to ask him to heal him. But he wasn't going to let this opportunity pass. And I want to suggest that the need that he had wasn't enough in and of itself. The need wasn't enough for the Lord to deal with them. He required him to come to the Lord in faith. He required him to cry out to God. There's a lot of people in Jericho, I'm sure, that had need. And yet the Lord dealt with the one who cried out to him and asked for help. So Bartimaeus had hope, and that hope sparked faith, and that led to action. And he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So while they saw a man, he saw the Messiah. And maybe his blindness was a blessing after all. Maybe his blindness was something God was going to use to get him to cry out and to come to him in faith. And maybe the needs that we have, maybe the needs that we struggle with, maybe the things that we have to cry out to God for are designed for our blessing. Of all the people in Jericho, the only one that received the ministry of Jesus was Bartimaeus, because he was the only one that cried out. The crowd tried to quiet him. They told him, be quiet. You're embarrassing us. You're embarrassing yourself. You're just making a ruckus. Just be quiet. We don't act this way. This isn't the way we do things. But it says he cried out all the more. He wasn't going to let what other people thought, he wasn't going to let what other people told, it said to him, stop him. His need was too great, and this opportunity was too great. He wasn't going to let it pass. Didn't matter what other people thought. His need spurred him to act that. What did Jesus do? Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. I think those are two of the most gracious words in all of Scripture. Jesus stopped. Now think about this. He's on his way to the cross. I was going to say arguably, but that isn't even true. He's on his way to the most important event in the history of this world. The most impactful thing that was ever going to happen on the face of this earth, where the Son of God would be slain for the sins of man. Nothing else on earth ever was more important than that. And here was Jesus on his way to the cross, on his way to this most important thing, and he stopped. And he stopped because this crazy beggar was yelling at him, and he stopped. You know, I just think that's amazing because I know how I am, and I know how others are. When you're busy, when you've got something important to do, don't bother me. I've got this important thing to do. I don't bother me. Maybe later, but not now. I can't stop because I'm on a mission. I'm too busy to do anything. But here, the Son of God, on the way to the most important thing that ever transpired on the face of this earth, and he stops for a poor beggar. A poor beggar who had nothing, who wasn't a person of influence, who had nothing to give him, nothing to help him. He just had a need. Jesus stopped. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt that maybe the Lord's too busy for you? Have you ever felt maybe that your need is, the whole scheme of the things of this world is not very important? It's important to you. Have you ever thought that maybe God wouldn't have time for you or wouldn't stop? Even when you're hollering and screaming because of your need, maybe you think what your need isn't important enough, but he stopped for a beggar. He stopped for a poor beggar who had nothing. And he not only took notice of him, but he took time to act. Jesus stopped. He said, call him. He said, bring him forth. Call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. So, Jesus calls him, and I can't help but think about the crowd in all of this. Here, They heard the same things about Jesus, who he was, what he did. They heard the same things that Bartimaeus heard, but their hearts weren't moved to call out to him. They saw Jesus stop, and they saw that he was going to deal with this blind beggar who called on him for help. And maybe they got a little excited about that. Maybe they thought they'd see a miracle, and that was pretty exciting. You don't get to see those every day. And maybe as he was walking through the crowd, maybe they were patting him on the back and saying, you know, this is great. This is wonderful. It's going to happen. But the tragic thing is they were just as needy as he was. And yet they did not have any personal interaction with Jesus. They tried to stop Bartimaeus from having interaction. And then when he was called for, they helped him, kind of ushered him forth. But they had no personal interaction of themselves. They were spectators. They were onlookers. They had no relationship. It's not enough to be an onlooker. It's not enough to be a spectator. They suffered from a disease that I think a lot of church people suffer from. I'll use myself as an example. We want to be moved. We just don't want to move. It's true. We want to be moved. Lord, do something. But don't want to move. And that's going to keep them. From receiving what Bartimaeus, the blessing of an interaction with the Lord. So Bartimaeus threw off his garments. He was eager to move. He didn't have to ask him twice. He didn't have to encourage him. He was eager. And he threw off his garment, his beggar's cloak. He had an expectation. He had a faith that God was going to change him. He no longer needed his beggar coat. The old has passed away. Things were becoming new. He had an expectant faith. And that's the only kind of faith there is, an expectant faith. If your faith doesn't expect God to do anything, then you need to pump it up a little bit. Expectant faith, that's what it's called for. But it was a faith that depended on the mercy of God. He wasn't expecting anything because of who he was. He had nothing to offer. He was just a blind, poor beggar. And so he comes to him. On what basis did he expect to be helped? Well, I think the basis was the promises of God. The promise from Isaiah that when the Messiah came, he'd restore the sight of the blind. The promise that God is merciful, that he is slow to anger, he is merciful. And so he depended upon the promises of God. He believed the promises of God. And he depended upon the mercy of the Lord. So Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's obvious what is needed here. It wasn't that Jesus didn't know, but he doesn't impose. He never imposes. He wants to be asked. He wants you to ask. We're told you have not because you ask not. I wonder how many things we miss because we don't ask. Maybe we don't think the Lord, maybe think he's too busy to help us. But you have not because you ask not. So he said, Lord, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. I want my sight back. And Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, Jesus is the one who made him well, but it was his faith that was the channel that Jesus used to make him well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus' response was, and the response of thankfulness was to follow Jesus. It's interesting, Jesus told him, go your way, your faith has made you well. But Bartimaeus said by his actions, my way is your way. I'm not going my way, I'm going your way. I want to be with you. And so that is a response of thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving looks like, to follow Jesus. Like I said, there are many people in Jericho who had need, but only one was healed. And I will say one more thing about this. Jesus wasn't going to go through Jericho again. He was going through Jericho. These people weren't going to see him again. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart, we're told in Hebrews. And I want to end with this from John 1. Rather than butchering it, let me read it. John 1:12, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. To all that believed on his name, to received him, gave he the power to become the children of God. That's what we're to do, to believe on his name, to call upon him, to know that when you call upon him, he'll stop, he'll hear, and if you come in faith, he will deal with you. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a simple story of faith. How simple it is to just hear a promise with our ears, not needing proof by seeing anything in particular happen, just believing your word, believing you, and calling upon you. It couldn't be any more simple. And then just to trust the results, whether you heal or don't heal. Whatever you do, are worthy to be trusted, worthy to be loved, and we come to do that in Christ's name. Amen.